Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection. Revelation chapter 10, beginning with verse 8. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, Go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, Give me the little book. And he said to me, Take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. May God add blessings to the reading of his word tonight. We continue in our study of the book of Revelation. We continue on with last week's topic, things that are unusual. Last week we looked at four unusual figures of Revelation chapter 10. And from our passage tonight, we're going to hear an assignment that removes John from being a casual observer to being a participant in things that are going on. In his vision, he is in heaven. We are between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. The bowl judgments are getting ready to be poured out. The seals have already been opened. We are moving ahead at a pretty rapid pace. Now, suddenly, in chapter 10, we take a pause. We take a pause in God's judgment on this earth. Before the seventh trumpet blows, John is shown some things. An angel, as we saw last week, another mighty angel, as God's word begins in chapter 10, verse 1, came down from heaven. And God used this angel to show John some things. But something interesting. In the beginning of Revelation, if you remember, when John sees and the Lord talks to John and he tells John specifically, write these things down. Last week, what we studied, when the angel from heaven came down and looked at John and showed John the things that were getting ready to take place in the seventh trumpet, John was told, do not write them down. They were so horrifying. They were so terrifying. I don't know that there's an adjective that could describe it. John saw it, but he wasn't allowed to reveal it. Now, tonight, this same angel that told John, here, look at this, but don't write it down, is holding a book, and that book, that little book is not the Word of God, but it is a book that describes, that shows with some detail the things that are about to take place. And we've gone through Revelation, and there have been some pretty ugly things take place thus far. This world has been shaken to its core with God's judgment. But it is only the preliminary, because what is getting ready to happen is beyond description. So here this angel continues to talk with John and continues to reveal some things. And we're going to look at John's unusual assignment tonight. And we're going to take that assignment and we're going to see how it relates back into our lives, our callings, our giftings, our purposes here, this side of the revelation, this side of the rapture, this side of these things taking place. We have to remember that just like John, you and I are participants in God's wondrous works that are taking place here on the earth. God is not limited to preachers and missionaries and teachers and pastors and scholars and theologians. No, God has a purpose for each one of us. Each one of us fits into His plan. Each one of us. We're not here by chance. We're not just wandering around. God has got a purpose. God placed us here in Calvary Missionary Baptist Church for a reason. God wants us to be obedient. God wants us to be submissive. God wants us to be convicted. God wants us to take His commission and move it forward. As He did with John, the Apostle John, here in our text, He needs people that are willing to move His program forward. So what we do is for God. Our assembly here tonight is for God, is to worship. Our purpose and everything that we do with missions, with evangelism, with outreach, it's all for God. It's not for man. There are no us and them. Only the redeemed. Only those that follow the Lord in obedience and in submission. So tonight we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to consider John's role as he moves from an observer to a participant. So notice with me first the anticipation of God's plan. In verse 8, we see that John heard the voice, and that voice spoke to him and said, "Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth." And last week we touched on that. This angel was figured as showing 1 foot on the sea and 1 foot on the earth. And that configuration showed and told the tale of God and His plan and His judgment coming out of the seventh trumpet was going to cover the entire face of the earth at the same time. Now, previously, when we go back and we consider everything that we've looked at, God has had judgment upon the sea and God has had judgment upon the land, but very rarely have the two intermixed and intermingled. This judgment that is coming is going to take place across the sea and the land simultaneously. It's going to cover the surface of the earth to the heavens itself. It's going to be as broad as it is wide, if you'd like to compare it that way. Everything of God's creation is going to be involved in this coming judgment. And now that angel that is standing there with 1 foot on the sea and 1 foot on the earth and on the land and is holding a little book, and John says, "Go take that little book." When God gives us a directive, when God puts something in front of us and He says, "Go do that," how seriously do we take it? How intimidated are we by it? But how faithful are we in the God that we serve and in the Lord that has saved us, that as He, sure as He gave the command for us to do it, and we show the faith to do it, that He will see us through? John has seen some horrifying things. John has seen things that he can't tell, he can't talk about. And now, here the image of this angel is standing there as a picture of the depth and the breadth of the coming judgment across all of creation simultaneously, and is holding a little book. And God says, "Go take that little book out of the angel's hand." How fearful do you think that was for John? How much faith did John have to walk up there and take that book, not knowing what the consequences may be? When God puts something in our heart, we have to anticipate His plan, and we do. We anticipate His plan. How is this going to work? What's going to happen? How is God going to handle me? How is God going to take care of me through this? How is God going to see me through? And God doesn't always give us His plan. God expects us to live by faith. The anticipation of God's plan here in Revelation, where John was going to be moved from being an observer to what was taking place, to being a participant by having to take this book in his hand, was a move of faith on John's part, knowing that the very Lord that he lived with on this earth for 3 years, the Lord that he was in the upper room with that we were looking at this morning, the Lord that was betrayed, the Lord that had all of the issues there, the Lord that he saw ascend into heaven, that same Jesus, he had faith, was going to see him through. We can learn and we can gain an encouragement tonight from John and from just this one verse. We can gain an encouragement of God's ability and His faithfulness to His people. But we can also learn a lesson about God's expectations of us to rely on Him in faith when He does call upon us to do something. Whatever it may be, regardless of how small it is, regardless of how large it is, if God calls us to it, He will lead us through it. And that's not just some cliche that I borrowed off of social media. It's true. It's a very true statement. Nowhere in God's Word will you find anywhere where He has called someone to do something, man or woman, where He hasn't led them through it. Now, He may have taken, by man's estimation, He may have taken the long road about doing it. But God took the road that He wanted to take for His purpose and for His glory. So John is looking at and is dealing with an anticipation of his word. We notice in the sidebar of the study book, is that this act geographically illustrates taking in God's word. John's physical reactions demonstrate what every believer's proper response to God's judgment should be. It should be sweet anticipation of God's glory and our victory, and at the same time the bitterness of seeing God's wrath poured out on those who reject it. So you see, that brings us to my second point tonight, which is the absorption of God's judgment. Here you have the Apostle John, who is being shown this, who is having these things revealed to him in heaven. And he is being asked to absorb the judgment of God. He is being asked to see it and not just accept it, but to absorb it, to grasp it, and to take an in-depth understanding of what it is and why it is there. John is the last living apostle. All of the rest have gone home to glory. John has been exiled to the Isle of Patmos. John has seen a lot of misery in his life. John has seen a lot of persecution. John has seen a lot of death, a lot of destruction. John has seen a lot of evil and a lot of wickedness. But nothing has prepared him for what he has seen here as the revelation has been exposed, as the apocalypse has been exposed to him. And here, God says, absorb this. Absorb the judgment of humanity and be blessed by it. How often have we thought about judgment being a blessing for the believer? But that's the picture that John is being given. We get to miss it. When we read in verse 9, the angel says to take that book and eat it. It'll be bitter in your stomach, but it will taste sweet in your mouth. The sweetness in the mouth is the picture, is the beauty of God's judgment being poured out on the wickedness and on the evil and on the vileness of sin that has so engulfed this planet, so engulfed the creation. The devil has had his way for so long in the hearts and the lives of people. The devil has had his way for so long in the creation of God. God has kind of let that go, and he has left it up to the devil to kind of torment and torture. And he has been there in grace and mercy, wanting to receive people that will come to him in salvation. But now it is judgment, and John sees a sweetness in watching the devil get his due. But at the same time, the bitterness in his stomach is the harsh reality of what that judgment is going to be for those who have missed, for those who have failed to be saved, for those who have so hardened their heart against God and so hardened their heart against the Lord Jesus Christ that nothing is there except hell for them. They have been through 6 trumpet judgments. They have been through the seal judgments. And they have hardened their hearts. As a matter of fact, we read previously in verse 9, where it did not matter what had happened to them. It did not matter about the harshness. It did not matter about any of it. They hardened their heart more and more against God. When we look at things taking place in our world today, if we look sincerely at them with open eyes, we can see a hardening of a people's heart toward God. We can see people turning against Jesus Christ. We can see hatred and we can see animosity. We can see people coddling up and cuddling up to sin and wanting to lift and elevate sin to a new level and to a new degree, while at the same time not just pushing God away, but having a bitterness and an anger and an hatred toward God. We think it's ugly now. Imagine what John sees. The sweetness of the taste of judgment and the bitterness of the effects that it will have on those who have to see it. It's going to be so vile, we see at the bottom of the page, as he truly digests what the seal, trumpet, and bowl judgments hold in store for the sinner, John becomes nauseated. It's sickening to John to see what it does to humanity. The vindication is sweet, but the reality is sickening. Next, notice with me that there is an apology or an explanation of God's revelation. That apology, that explanation that's there, is one that says this bitterness, this sweetness that you're tasting is a bitterness and a sweetness that's been promised from creation. Because all the way back to the Garden of Eden, because all the way back to that first sin, to that promise that God made the serpent there in the Garden of Eden, made the old devil and told him, the day will come. The day will come when your head will be crushed. You may bruise his heel, but the day will come when your head will be crushed. The apology of God's word is extending from eternity to eternity. What we are seeing here take place in Revelation chapter 10 is the fulfillment of every promise of judgment that has ever been made by God through His prophets, through His preachers, through anyone that has ever held His book and prophesied or preached His word. We are seeing it begin to unfold in the book of Revelation. The apologetics of God's promises, the apologetics of God's judgment, the apologetics of God's sovereignty are all getting ready to come, are all getting ready to unload. One movement. It's amazing when we sit down and we look at this one bite at a time, digest it out, think about it, and comprehend it. And then finally, we see that there is an address to God's Word. In verse 11, it says, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. You must prophesy again. You've got to preach some more. Your preaching is not over, John. Your time and your words have not ended yet. Think about what that done for John right there. He was sent to the Isle of Patmos to die. And then he started, God came and God got him and worked with him. And now God has him here in the middle of the revelation, writing things down, making documents and doing things. And now here God reassures John, you're not through preaching yet. You're going to go warn men about the bitter judgment of the seventh trumpet and then the seven bowl judgments. Your preaching has just been turned up a notch. Your mission has just been escalated. What does that say about our mission today? What does that say about the Great Commission of the church tonight? If John was escalated at his age to turn it up a notch and start preaching about these judgments and about the things that are getting ready to come, how much more urgent is it today in our day, some 2,000 years later? Folks, we stand on the cusp of God moving, of God's movement of the book of Revelation. It could happen any time. I know we've heard that. We've all grown up hearing that. It could happen at any time, and it could have. If God is taking John at this point, and he is saying, you must prophesy again about many people, about many nations, tongues, and kings, warn them, preach to them, tell them what is coming. It's important that they know so that they can be saved and so that they can avoid the judgments that you're looking at and that you're seeing. Because it's not God's will that any should perish, that any should die, that any should be condemned. Remember what hell was created for? Hell was created for the devil and his angels, the ones that rebelled. It wasn't created for us. But yet, some of us choose to go. Some of us choose to go there. Some of us make the decision to ignore and to push away God and push away Jesus. There is a warning tonight to the church where God is saying, turn it up a notch. And let's continue to preach and let's continue to reach and let's do whatever we can do, whatever it takes to get the message of Jesus out to a lost and dying world tonight, because people's souls hang in the balance. Judgment is coming. And if they choose to die and if they choose to go and spend eternity in hell, then I'm paraphrasing words from Charles Spurgeon, the late Charles Spurgeon. If folks want to die and they want to go to hell, let them crawl over our bodies and drag us as we're trying to keep them from walking into those flames. Do we have that faith to step out as John stepped out to take this book, to open it and to see the reality of judgment? Do we have that faith tonight to step out when God says come and take? When God says go and tell? Do we have that faith to be obedient? Do we have that faith to hold on to Him that whatever He calls us to do, He will be sincere? Because we should have that faith in who God is and in who Jesus is. We should have that faith to say, whatever you want, God, whatever it is you want, we'll make it happen. Whatever it is you want, we'll go tell it. Whatever it is you want, we'll go sing it. Whatever it is you want, we will tell people about Jesus. Wherever it is, we'll find a way. If we can't do it on our own, we'll find a way to get with the group that we can help get it there. Whatever it is. The unusual assignment that the Apostle John had was the assignment of cranking up his message to the next level, to sound even louder the warning of what was to come, what is promised to come, without a doubt. John says, I have seen it with my own eyes, and there are not words to describe it, but I've seen it. John was shown a very disturbing scene. He was told not to write it down, and then he was told to proclaim it, to proclaim all of the reality of God's judgment. And he was told to proclaim how it will affect the world and mankind. And again, our commission is to share the salvation of Jesus Christ, salvation by grace and through faith in Jesus alone. Because we do have to remember, without it, there is no hope. Without it, those that miss it have only hell to look forward. That should shake us tonight. That should shake us. And that assignment to us is an unusual assignment. It is the assignment that was given to the commission of the church. May our hearts be convicted to follow that commission.